episode 2191, How to Love Your Child Unconditionally.
Moms, it's time to rediscover, rejuvenate, and renew who you are in mind, body, and spirit. Welcome to Create Your Now, Your Best Selfie, the show to help you do just that. Here's your host, certified life coach, personal trainer, and nutritionist, Christiane Wargo. Staring at a stop
sign, watching people happy, happy day. I hope you have had a splendid first full week of the new year. It's Confessions of an Upset Mama, and you know what? I'm a little fit to be tied. We like to do everything we can for our children, but one thing that we tend to miss is loving them. So today, it's all about how to love your child unconditionally. For those of you who are brand new to Create You Now, welcome to this incredible family. I'm so delighted of your presence. If you already had the opportunity, you'll want to head on over to createyournow.com, where you can learn more and sign up for the Kisses newsletter, the Keep It Simple strategy, everyday solutions to live, love, and impact. Well, this episode is brought to you by the AIM Academy. When a child tests you, and I know because I have been tested by many children, not just my own, but by others, any responses from you must be clear and concise. But regardless of the situation, you must learn how to love your child unconditionally. Life moves at lightning speed. It's hard to settle down when you're frustrated and wanting your child to do what you've asked 10 times before. Been there, done that, right? You say, will you please go clean your room? And it's the sixth, the seventh, the eighth time you're still saying it. By the 10th time, you are ready to take them and throw them from one side of the house to the other and say, why did you not hear me the 9 times before? What do I need to do to get your attention? But for some reason, your child does not listen and refuses to perform as requested. There goes your blood pressure. Skyrocket. And you thought climbing Mount Everest is dangerous. Raising a child is even more than challenging. Yes, you need oxygen just to survive in both events. So take a deep breath. I want you to think back. Maybe it's been a recent event. I mean, I know coming off the holidays can be very stressful. And I know these last few months have been extra stressful. Why? Well, you had the holidays. On top of that, in 2020, you had what? COVID-19. You had people home more often. And so space became what? Limited. It was scrunched in. Everybody kind of felt like they were climbing on top of each other. There has been some challenges brought into the family this year and last year that really, in reality, I don't think people stopped to really think that this would ever happen. So that we're having this discussion, it's important to understand that we've got to love our spouse unconditionally, but we also have to love our children unconditionally. So you got to show your love through patient responses. That is your Kiss to Keep It Simple strategy. Show love through patient responses. Now notice the key word there, patient. Yes, when your blood pressure is going up, do you think you're very patient? No, you're not. I know, because I've gone through 5 children. And do they test my patience? Every single day. Now I got to tell you this, as they've gotten older through the teenage years, most of them, we have gotten through kind of, I would say, the worst part. But then there comes another season where they kind of get to make their own decisions and you have to let them fall. Now, we're not going to go into that particular season of life, but the whole key word here is patience. We have to have patience. And that's hard, but I look to our Heavenly Father and I think, boy, does He have patience with me. And so I glean this not from myself, but from Him, saying that, you know what, from the beginning of birth, we look at our children and wish they would not grow up fast. And we think, yeah, wouldn't it be cute that they just stay little? We look at a puppy dog and say the same thing. Now, a puppy dog, we could see staying little forever. That would be adorable. Our children, no. Do you really want them to be a red rat the rest of their lives? I don't think so. So we're like, come on, slow down here. Don't grow up too fast. I hear my daughter saying it to our little grandbaby. If you're willing to show your love through patient responses, your child can grow up in his time and not be pushed to do so earlier. Believe it or not, how we respond to our children, how we react to them, pushes them to grow up either faster or at their own tempo. Just think of circumstances. If you have a mother, father who are married, kids are growing up, and all of a sudden the marriage is beginning to fall apart, and there's a divorce, there's a split, there's sharing of time, there's fighting, there's arguing, there's this separation, and now it's no longer a family. Even though it was a dysfunctional family before, there's just not this cohesiveness any longer. What do you think that does to a child? It pushes them to grow up faster. When we love our children, it's important that we love them unconditionally, meaning that we are not sitting here with our foot on the throttle saying, you know what, I'm pushing you in this direction. My response is going to be this. And guess what? That means you have to do this. It's almost where we're giving them, you do it this way or you don't do it this way. And our kids are forced to deal with us as parents. Now, I know, I get it. I get pushback from this. And they're like, well, they don't know any better. Yes, I get that. I understand. But they also have feelings and emotions. And we have to understand that from their perspective. So it's definitely a two-way street. So we've got to show our love through patient responses. So what does that look like? How can we be patient when we raise our children up so that, number one, our blood pressure isn't going through the roof all the time and we don't feel like we're climbing Mount Everest every other hour? Because I know there are seasons like that. I get it. And it's not just the terrible twos. Oh no, you're going to have it in the teens, you're going to have it in the 20s, and I'm not sure about the 30s, but I know I've had clients and great friends that have experienced that as they grow. There is still some dysfunction there. And we change our role in our children's lives as a parent, right? At first, we're parenting 100% of the time, and sometimes 150% of the time, we have to parent them. We have to be thinking for them. And then we have to let them go a little bit. We have to loosen the reins a little bit. They have to begin to fall. And then they get old enough where it's like, okay, it's all in, guys. This is all you. You get to make the decision. And they fall harder, faster. And that's hard. I know for me, that has been very challenging. Because I'm like, okay, I'm telling you this. I'm giving you fair warning. I can't tell you anymore. In fact, I'm literally telling you not to do something or to do something, and you're not listening to me, and they still fall hard and fast. This is when, as a parent, we have got to be patient, and we have to be patient with our responses. So what does that look like? Number one, give your child space. Regardless of the age, give your child space. As your child grows up, it's important to give your child room to spread her wings. Plus, when you give space, you also make room for greater thoughts. So think about that for just a moment. If we're always trying to parent at 150%, that means we're thinking for our children. And at times, yes, I get it. As an infant, are they doing much thinking? No, there are thoughts, but their thoughts are not our thoughts because we're older and hopefully we have more wisdom than an infant does. And so therefore we do have to make all the decisions for them. We have to think ahead. So we're given 150% when it comes to our thoughts plus their thoughts. But as they grow up, we gradually need to give them the space to be able to make decisions, to understand that what they say and how they act has consequences, good or bad. If we are always coming in and trying to be that 150% when they're an infant, where do you think that leaves your child? Somewhat helpless as they grow older. And sometimes that puts them in a situation that really does not benefit them in the long run. So give your child space, obviously age-appropriate space. You're not going to give a 2-year-old the amount of space that you would give a 22-year-old. So let's not go overboard here, right? Think wisely But you need to give your child space to think about it, because then when you come to speak to them about the situation or the circumstance that has occurred, then based on where they are in their age and development, then you can have a conversation appropriate to that age. Give your child space. Number two, listen before you speak. It is so easy to put our foot in our mouths. Oh my goodness gracious, I've done it. And I'm like, why do you not just shut your mouth and listen? So I'm telling you now, listen before you speak. Slow down. Don't react so fast. Listen. And when you listen, if you're really listening, you can't do speaking and listening at the same time, because you're not going to hear it clearly. You'll get little bubbles here and there. You'll be able to pull out phrases, but you're not going to get the whole context of the conversation. And I also want to challenge you, when you listen, do not formulate your thought until your child is done speaking, with a period, exclamation point, question mark, comma, whatever it is, until they end it. Do not be thinking about how you're going to respond, because then you will have missed half of what they said. That is listening, is when you're there, when you're so present and you wait for that pause. And guess what? It's okay to have a pregnant pause. That means it feels like an eternity. It feels like the crickets are singing loudly. That's all right. Build the suspense, because your child then is opening up their mind to be able to hear and understand you. Also, one thing, when you listen, it allows you to keep the judgment silent. And come on, it's confession day. Just let it all hang out. We judge our children. We do it. Not that we want to admit it, but we do it. And so be cautious of that. It's one way to discipline your child. It's another thing to judge your child. So be very careful. You will have time to express your concerns, but give that break. Listen to them before you speak. And finally, number three, whisper instead of yell. Did you get that? Yeah, okay, I'll say it normal now. Whisper instead of yell. I don't know about you, but yelling is a way of expending built-up energy. You're frustrated. The situation is tense. You're like, oh, come on, I got to relieve something. And the next thing you know, you don't think you're yelling, but all of a sudden you're turning red and you're like, why is my voice beginning to hurt? You're talking at decibels that you don't normally talk at. Now, for me, I just naturally project. But because I know I do that, as I've grown older and wiser, I've tried to calm my voice. And as I've calmed my voice and I whisper, my kids lean in more and they're like, are you okay, Mom? Like, is something gonna happen? Let me give you an example. Our oldest daughter, I don't remember even the situation, but she came to me probably a week or so after the circumstance happened. I don't even remember what it was. I think actually what it had to deal with was her driving. And if you've been with me long enough, you know that she has a heavy foot. We'll just leave it at that. Well, she comes to me about a week after the situation, whatever it was, I don't remember. It wasn't life or death, but it was a situation. And it required me to intervene. And we had to do, I don't even remember, but there had to be some finagling and, you know, planning, and this was our next step, etc. Well, she was afraid to tell me what happened. And all I can remember, and I know she could tell the story much better than I could, because obviously it didn't happen to me. But when she told me, and this was in person, she told me, I took a deep breath. And in all honesty, in my younger, not so wise years, oh my goodness, I probably would have hit her with flying bricks coming out of my mouth. I probably would have been loud, obnoxious, saying, what were you doing? What were you thinking? But at that moment, I just took this breath. I anchored my heart and then my feet to the floor. I grounded myself. And I whispered. And I said, what are you going to do about this? And I then just stopped talking. She didn't know what to say. She didn't know how to respond. Mom wasn't yelling. Bricks were not flying out of her mouth. She wasn't turning red. She wasn't loud. No, she was quiet. She honestly thought that her life was going to end. Now, not literally, but figuratively. She was scared. Why? Because it was the whisper. I caught her attention. You see, sometimes we think that we have to be boisterous and loud in order to get our children's attention. No, sometimes we just have to quiet it down. We have to lower our volume. We have to change our tone. Sometimes not ripping into them, not making them feel less than, smaller than an ant, has more impact than yelling and screaming. So I speak from experience, and this goes for any child at any age. You're going to freak him out. I still do it, and I love it because it's hysterical. Now that I'm older and my children, yes, they're growing older, a little bit wiser, not quite up to mama speed yet. Just saying, it is confession day. Thank goodness I still have more wisdom than them. However, I know one of these days they'll surpass me, or maybe they won't. If I stay really healthy and focused, maybe one day when I'm called to go home, I'll just fall asleep and I'll still have more wisdom than them. But regardless, even though they are getting older, and then we have our conversations differently because they are young adults now moving into adulthood, I challenge them by approaching them with a very calm tone. You see, patient responses get attention. Give your child space. Listen before you speak and whisper instead of yell. You know, last year was a tough year. And I don't know what 2021 is going to look like either. We can attempt to project. We can go into the, oh, woe's me, if you're on one side of the fence, or you can go into the, oh my goodness, it's going to be awesome effect if you're on the other side of the fence. It doesn't matter where you are. There are question marks of unknown everywhere. So one thing I want you to consider this year, it's the first Friday of Confessions of an Upset Mama. And I want you to really think about the goals that you want for your family. How do you want to deepen your family relationship? How do you want to come together? Because regardless of what's happening on either side of the fence, up in DC, on the east or the west, up north or down south, one thing that you can never, ever get rid of is your family. You're always connected. Good, bad, or ugly, you're always connected. And so I want to challenge you on the first full Friday of Confessions of an Upset Mama. Really learn how to love your children unconditionally. Work on that. And then as you do that, find a way as to how you're going to deepen your relationship with your child. What do you want it to look like? And yes, it's going to be different for each of us. Why? Because, well, if you have a 2-year-old, it's going to be different than you have a 32-year-old or a 12-year-old. It's going to look different if you have a boy or if you have a girl. You're at different stages, different seasons in life, but one thing that is common ground is love. And that love needs to grow deeper. Those roots need to get stronger because you as a family unit, you need to be able to come together when the storms come, whatever they are. You need to ready yourself. So I am wishing and praying for you all a beautiful, happy, blessed new year, and that you will come together as a family differently than any time before. And understand that it's going to take baby steps. Remember, one step at a time leads to miles of greatness. So go out. You're doing an awesome job being an awesome mom, an incredible dad. Be present Be incredible. Be you. I love you so very much. I cannot wait to see you on the other side. Blessings, hugs, and lots of love. We'll talk to you real soon. Have a glorious weekend. Bye-bye.
Feeling inspired, ready to train for life, and love your journey? Visit createyournow.com for more incredible resources to help you along the way. We'll see you next time on Create Your Now, Your Best Selfie. And remember, always be sure you consult your physician before beginning any health and fitness plan.